and gentlemen, check, check. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Comic Book Club. Are you ready? Make some noise for your hosts. It's Pete, Alex, and Justin.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Mr. Big BJ.
Yeah.
Mr. Big
What's
BJ.
Up,
oh, my gosh. Pete, something's a little bit different this week.
Pete.
You guys want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So, Zalpin constantly busts my balls because the Punisher stuff doesn't get properly cleaned. I try to keep my stuff clean, but I took it to the dry cleaner.
So
where
you
doing
have
a professional job.
For those of you listening, Pete has a small Punisher shrine made up of a hat, some slippers.
There's a lot of stuff.
A loaded pistol.
Yeah, yeah.
That you keep right here.
The souls of his children.
Just so I can feel safe.
Yeah, a picnic basket. And that makes you feel safe for some reason. And it's you haven't cleaned it in the 13 years you've been doing
this
show.
No, that's not true. I've cleaned it numerous times.
What would you say in 13 years? How many is numerous? Four, five, something like that?
No, man. Like when I would do laundry, I would throw in the shirts. And
yeah, but how often do you do laundry? Let's be honest.
Pretty regularly.
What is regularly?
This is a real gotcha question.
Yeah, it's like every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Okay,
wow, that's
reasonable.
That's pretty good.
Applause
Look at
for
that
the audience.
Proud
for,
audience
laundry.
Member. We had a pool with everyone here in the crowd tonight, and most people were way further out than that.
Yeah, they were.
This gentleman just won the pool. He won $1,000 for.
Salvin, how you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm just saying because you didn't you have a weird experience today? You want?
Oh,
to
sure.
About?
Are we going to talk about that?
Yeah.
Sure. So
this is where we air our sins and are punished for being friends.
Yeah, we always like to start every show with an airing of grievances, if we can. So I was walking through the subway, just kind of checking my phone as you do. Plenty of space. I saw this lady kind of angling towards me, so I angled out of the way to get out of the way of her, but she kept angling towards me. And the further I moved, the further she pushed me until I was scrunched up on the ticket booth.
What
do they even call it a ticket booth anymore?
What year was this?
This was 1920-03.
Let me ask you this. Is this the beginning of a romantic comedy?
No, it wasn't. It was the beginning. It felt like it was the beginning of a zombie movie because I don't know how this is going to play to people listening at home. But a lady, she came up to me and got 2 inches away from me and had her mouth open. It was like,
like she was going to bite you.
And I was so freaked out. I did manage to like kind of push her away and run towards the escalator. But I realized on the escalator, beyond being like, oh my God, this is fucked up.
Lady.
Why are people so crazy in the subway? Was if this was Walking Dead, I'd be dead right now. Like my reaction to a zombie plague would be like, another lady in the subway.
So this happens to you a lot?
Almost daily.
Maybe she was a fan of your Dr. Zalbin character from Lock and Key, and she was like, would you mind looking at my throat?
Yeah, no, she was. She was like, Lock and Key!
So you had a terrifying experience that made you stronger.
Right.
Pete does laundry. Again, Pete, you're facing away from the audience.
Pete.
You're truly just admiring us like a man. Like he's a man of the people.
If you're listening to the podcast at home, guys, you really got to come to the theater.
Pete's a lot of stagecraft that you're missing out on. And I'm doing fine. So let's get the show started.
Excited about the guest that we have on the show today. He's the creator of the comic book Big Boss, ladies and gentlemen, Christian Alouage.
Yeah, dude.
All right, come on up.
Welcome. Thank you for being receiving line style.
Hello.
Have a microphone. Hang out.
Sit down.
Great to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. Very excited to have you here. You're all right?
It's bright.
Yeah, it's bright on stage. I'm sorry about
that. That's the bright light of fame, my man.
Oh,
you did it.
Well, you guys are amazing, yeah.
Is it
12, 13 years now?
Almost 13 years. Kind of crazy.
Phenomenal. Right. Congratulations, yeah.
Thank you.
It's a commitment. We're entering our awkward teen phase.
Yeah. We are. We're starting to grow hair in weird places. It's not great. Let's talk about Big Boss, though. So this is an independent comic book. You've been putting it out for a while.
Yes.
Give people, for those who don't know, what's the background of the book? What's the pitch?
Well, Big Boss, Gun for Hire, actually has a long background. It actually started 20 years ago. When I was still in high school.
Nice.
And I self-published it during the mid-90s when that big independent publishing craze, and I was still just a kid. And it was a very different story. He wasn't an assassin. Now he's an assassin. And he was
times
still...
Times change.
Yeah, times change.
Yeah.
but actually, in that story, he was already dead. He was in hell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sounds like maybe a couple of things changed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I know the ending already.
major spoiler.
Yeah. So then a few years passed. I wrote a short story. And then I created a 5-issue miniseries called Big Boss Gun for Hire. And I had a writer that helped, Ryan Brandt. And he took my idea based on my my prep work. And he created this great story. And it's 120 pages now. It's on Amazon and Comixology.
Cool.
And then about a year and a half ago, I started an Instagram comic where I did one panel a day, 5 days a week. And now I've been just editing it now for print, and I have about a 75-page graphic novel.
Wow. That adds up.
Congrats.
Well, let's talk about the Instagram comic a bit. So clearly, I mean, just based on definition, that's very different than writing for a full page. So how do you pace that out properly? Are you looking at it as like, well, it's a 6-panel page I'm eventually going to publish, and I'm going to just do a panel a day? Or are you really aiming for the daily experience?
Well, the way I actually aimed for the daily experience was I tried as hard as I could to make each panel somewhat iconic in a kind of Lichtenstein sort of way, pop art sort of way. And but when I started, I actually storyboarded everything several weeks in advance. Actually, I had a couple of weeks to start, already panels done, and then I had about a solid month already plotted and storyboarded. So the only way to really read it is to actually wait a little bit so you can kind of follow the story.
Do you feel like having it on that very strict grid, does that restrict it at all? Or is it freeing to have those sorts of guidelines to be playing with?
Well, I thought a lot about what forum to use to create the graphic novel. And then I just felt that Instagram with the square format, it seemed, you know, a year and a half ago, that the square was the new format, it seemed. Right.
So at what point were you like, fuck, this is not the right format?
The rhombus was always
the experience
wrong.
Was a challenge, because people have to always thumb to the beginning or a little further down to kind of follow a couple of weeks' worth of storytelling to really get into it. And that's where I think it was a failure, you know?
But I also think on the positive side, you're sort of get a new hook every day. Yeah. You can really lure someone in who can be like, oh, I really like that. What's this about? And sort of track back, unlike a longer format comic where it's sort of like, here it is, and people don't get to start in the middle and maybe go back and forward and whatever.
Yeah, well, I think for the main reason that I did it was, I have to admit, I mean, I did it for myself in a way, because I thought it was a great experiment, because I come from a background in animation and storyboarding.
Cool.
And I love the square format, because I saw it as a challenge of what can I do with just square panels, you know, like how interesting can I make it? And in some ways, some of the storytelling ended up being very cinematic in the way the transition from panel to panel. Sometimes there were like overlying dialogue in one panel that carried to the next. I did use a couple of split panels, and then one of my favorites, which is like a top view, where you just see kind of a floor plan, basically, and characters kind of traveling through.
That's cool.
Do you think once you do collect this, are you going to change the format a little bit at all? Or are you going to tweak it away from the grid?
Well, it's collected, yeah, and I did. I added a couple of panels. I took out a couple kind of superfluous panels, and I did something interesting where I've enlarged some panels for dramatic effect. Oh, so nice. It doesn't make the story, the reading of the story, as stagnant. Mm-hmm. Because when in the first proof that I got, all the panels were totally square and just kind of, you just read through them and they just, I don't know, it seemed monotonous and a little bit boring. Sure. So when the printed comic comes out, some panels are kind of the full square with either two panels, like it'll be three panels a page. Either it'll be six panels per, nine panels per page or three.
Got it.
That's great.
And the other big change is it's a lot less. The characters turn into camera and be like, hey, like my selfie, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for the pity laugh.
Yeah, there's none of that. It's just it's a regular comic book story. I
was joking.
Yeah.
Since you have been doing this, since you have been doing this for a while, I mean, this is a very big question, but what would you say is the biggest change in comics, and particularly independent comics, the way you've been hitting them since when you started to today?
Well, not much has changed for me. independent comics. Well, there's a lot more small pressers.
Okay.
Like, everybody's, it's a pyramid, and very few, just like the fine art world, which I had some experience with, it's very few at the top that kind of funnel up. And then the rest is just like, kind of the bottom, the bottom feeders.
Well, but in a certain way, it feels like, this is our experience, I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
Show, we always do correct you.
Thank
if you're
you.
Wrong.
I appreciate it.
You were wrong a minute ago with that Instagram joke you made. I've been meaning to correct you about that.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks for jumping in. I really appreciate it.
Hey, that's what I'm here for. Sort of a safety valve.
Like you said, there was the 90s boom, for those of you who aren't familiar. I mean, that was monetarily enormous. There was Image Comics exploded. People were making millions of dollars off of comics.
Yeah.
That's not happening now, but at the same time, it does feel like there's more of an allowance for different types of stories that are being told on the independent scene. Is that kind of correct? Or
well, I mean, the people that I'm in contact with are kind of a little bit more traditional. And, I mean, my aesthetic is more traditional, and that's kind of what appealed to me. I mean, I know there's like very innovative things being done on some platforms, but you'll see when you talk to me, I'm a little bit old fashioned with my views, especially even with storytelling and films and all these subjects. And one of the aspects that I liked about the Instagram comic, and the reason I chose primarily black and white with some nuances of color, was because I'm a huge fan of traditional graphic novel storytelling, like Will Eisner, which was like, that was really Will Eisner, Joe Kubert, those guys. Some of you may have recognized them. Those guys kind of were really what I was trying to tap into. I thought, like, I just want to kind of get into a pure storytelling form.
Cool. What else do you want to plug? Where should people check out Big Boss?
Well, I do have a short live-action film that I produced a couple of years ago. I was living in Vegas, and I produced it there. And it's called Big Boss Gun for Hire.
Oh, nice. Right. Makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a great choice.
Good branding.
On IMDb, it's actually listed under Big Boss Night Out, which was the original short film title.
Yeah.
There's a link to a Vimeo of it from my website, which is csa1.ca.
When you were putting that together, did you direct the thing? Did you produce it or
No, I produced it. I definitely produced it. It was a lot of labor.
Good. Yeah. That's good that you know that.
Yeah. No, I definitely know. The reason I say that is because it's like...
There was a lot of work.
Involved.
Yeah. Had you ever worked in film before or produced a film?
I've done a lot of things.
I feel like you were just like, fine art. I did that for a while. I'm like, that's a story.
I've done a lot of things. You'll be kind of surprised, and I'm constantly surprised, and I don't mean to like say it in a bragging way, but I've just treated life like a learning experience, and I've tried a lot of things, and most of them are failures.
I don't know. You're here right now.
You're here, yeah. What would you say to guys that have done a podcast for 13 years?
Way to move on. I made some art films, kind of documentary style art films, and me painting. I did a large kind of Le Mademoiselle d'Avignon's sized painting several years ago back in Canada, and I recorded the whole production during the course of a year. I did it's 60 minutes long. Cool. on YouTube, and
you kind of buried the lead there that you're Canadian. I mean, that's pretty,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's cool.
Where in Canada are you from?
Mostly Ottawa.
What does that mean? Your arms from somewhere else?
I've got a very mysterious past.
I know. That's why we're trying to get to the bottom of this.
What is that? Yeah.
He's like, I can't really tell you exactly where I'm from.
Now that you're asking.
Exactly. You're the big boss. You're the gun for hire.
Well, now that you're asking, I'm going to tell you how mysterious. Well, I was born in Transylvania.
What? Oh, man. Run for your life. Yeah. Run for your life.
That's right.
Really?
I was actually born in Cluj-Napoca, Transylvania, the Transylvania Mountains.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Just next to Hungary and Romania.
Fine. Yeah. That's totally normal. Fine. Yeah,
you're absolutely safe.
What century were you born in?
That I can't tell.
Great. I do it.
We do this podcast at night.
But I'm older than you would think.
This is legit. I believe that you're a vampire. Yeah.
I just want to say, I know we mentioned a couple of times we've done this podcast for 13 years. I'm older than you think is the creepiest thing that you've ever seen.
And we've had some creepy people on this show.
I appreciate it.
So, but in a good way, in a very good
way. I aim to entertain.
Well, there we go.
Well, thank you.
Do you have a website, a place people can check out all things Big Boss? Or I guess the Instagram is the place.
Right? Yeah, the Instagram is the comic. You could thumb down and read the whole thing, and then it's going to come out in print very soon on Amazon and Comixology.
.com. Okay.
Yeah. and then I have my own website, which kind of has an oeuvre of most everything I've done, little bits and which is
cool. What's the website address?
CSA1.ca.
All right. There we go.
And before we move on, Alex is B positive. I'm A negative, and Pete is the tastiest blood. Oh.
There you go. Just so you know.
The fact that you know that, it kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Pete, I know everything about you.
I prefer female necks.
Okay.
All right. We're going to move on to the next section.
You can't get more creepy than that, right?
You said so much.
You just beat it. Good job. Great. Yeah. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack. And in the stack, we talk about a couple of comic books that we particularly like this week. A little bit of a theme stack going on here. Superman number 45 from DC Comics.
Yeah.
Pete, you want to talk about this one? Justin, anybody throwing it out to you?
Yeah, let's just throw it around. Anybody want to talk about this one?
Sure, yeah. It's, you guys heard of Superman, right? This is a comic about him.
Yeah.
Takes place in his hometown. A little Smallville action, you know. It's a family comic, you know.
Okay, Justin, you describe it.
Great. This is the last issue of the great Tomasi Gleason partnership on this book. Superman, for a while, in a sort of a weird way, was from an alternate dimension where he was once again married and had a son, and that has become the Superman of DC Comics. And it totally refocused the character onto this family man. And this comic has been so good at just showing a family unit in action dealing with all these things.
Go ahead, Pete.
I'm sorry. There was a really sweet, because you were talking about the family fun. It was really kind of adorable father-son stuff going on in this.
Well, I was going to say, so this whole issue is about them moving out of... are they in Smallville?
No, they're in Hamilton.
Hamilton, that's right.
Near Smallville.
An American musical. They're living inside the stage. It's very weird.
It's a great popular thing to do.
Yeah, if you can get tickets, move there.
Yeah, exactly. So they're living in the town of Hamilton. They're moving out to move to Metropolis. So this is all of them saying goodbye to their small-town life. We were talking a little bit about Action Comics 1000 came out recently, which was supposed to be this big tribute to Superman. There was some good stuff in it. There was some okay stuff in it. But this and the next book that we're going to talk about feel like a better tribute to Superman.
Yeah, it really does.
Such a great point, because Action Comics 1000 is getting so much hype, but this feels like more earnest to what Superman actually is. And it feels like, even though it's not him doing, like, being faster than a speeding bullet, it's truly him and his family moving out of their family home. It felt more real to the character. My my family just moved out, left the home that we had forever, and I was like very much identifying with this. This feels so real and good, and it's just a great comic.
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot, but this is such an underrated team on Superman and for DC Comics in general. A lot of people get a lot more press, but Tomasi and Gleason are classic.
Check it out. Go back to the beginning if you want. It's really great.
All right. Let's move on to something else that Peter Tomasi is doing. Super Sons number 15, another title that he's going to be saying goodbye to pretty soon. You've been loving this one, too, right?
Yes. The next issue is the last issue of this team on it.
Right.
This follows Superboy and Damian Wayne, the current Robin.
Which, amazing team-up. I really have been enjoying all the issues of this.
Yeah, they really feel like kids trying to figure it out. They make mistakes all the time, and they have a secret base underwater, but their parents, the Justice League, like, keeps tabs on them and stuff.
What I really like about this book in particular, the relationship, the way that Peter Tomasi writes it, is it could play as like little Batman and little Superman in the same dynamic, and that's as far as it goes. But he gives them a lot more color. He gives Damian is a total little asshole, but
you say that about so many children.
I just don't like children. I'm sorry. But he, you can tell,
father
like there's
two.
A
father
there's a
two.
Even when he is telling Superboy to get away from him, you can tell there's a warmth there. Like he wants to grow, he wants to change. And Superboy could just be this earnest across the board blank, but again, like they've been changed by each other, which I think is really
I really, you're right. The depth to having these kids who play such iconic characters, it's really enjoyable and really fun to see them in almost a new way, even though we've kind of seen variations of this for so many different types of variations. It's done in a sweet kind of way that really fits the characters.
It feels like two cousins who aren't really friends but are hanging out, and they're like, let's go build a fort. And
then that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And then I saw one of the villains is like a child of, what's that character?
Amazo?
Is that because it looked like that's Aquaman villain?
Black Manta.
Oh, Black Manta.
It does look like a Black Manta character.
That's what I thought it was.
It's not.
But they're also underwater, so it's sort of deceptive in what it is.
Yeah. And she says her name is Black Manta, which again, like, makes it very confusing.
Sort of foolish, but we know in our hearts what it actually is. It's something completely different.
Yeah, totally different. But this book is great, too. Definitely pick it up. Last one we're going to talk about, Batman number 45, bringing our trilogy to an end. Man, this book is good. We talk about it every issue, but it's amazing every issue. So Batman has proposed to Catwoman. They are going to be getting married. What Tom King and company have been doing is they've been walking through all the different things leading up to the marriage, from meeting your best friend to not meeting the parents, I guess, because that's not a thing.
That's the whole thing.
Oh, dude, come on, man. Show some respect.
No, he introduced her. He like took some pearls and dropped them on the ground. Like, that's basically my mom.
That's messed up.
I would like to see Batman's parents die. You know, I think that would be a nice scene.
Because I just want to know what happened. What's the deal?
Like, it's so mysterious.
For all we know, they could be living somewhere.
I really am against this bit.
Yeah, did it affect him? It's not a bit. It's real. But second, so, let me throw out to you real quick. It's funny when people, like, have you described what's going on with Batman to someone who doesn't read comics?
Not yet.
Well, actually, he's getting married to Catwoman. They're like, are you reading comics, or is this like a dream you had? It's like such a the story is not about the action adventure, it's about these characters, like,
right. So just to set up this issue real quick, the idea is Booster Gold wants to get Batman a present later.
He's from the future.
Right, he's from the future. He wants to get Batman a present. He has read or seen For the Man Who Has Everything, the classic Superman story by Alan Moore, where Superman gets his ideal life and then finds out that's not really the life he wants after all. So Booster Gold is like, oh, I'll do that. I'll fuck with your past
history
and change it.
I'll As a wedding present, I'll travel back in time and not stop your parents from dying.
Right.
So he ruins the world, basically.
Right, and the entire issue is Booster Gold being like, isn't this great? Batman's going to learn so many important lessons about what he really wants out of life, and it becomes one of the such a horrible, twisted, incredible story.
This book is really fucked up. I mean, it starts off with Green Lantern shooting himself in the head with his own ring, And it just stays in crazy town. And I've been enjoying every comic up to this issue because it's been very cool to see. But this one, I don't like Booster Gold. So I was like, well, fuck this.
You don't like him? Why?
I just think he's an annoying character. Kind of reminds me of somebody, you know?
Really? Oh. Let the record show that like, just, you know, one pointed
of those
at me.
Motor mouths, you know? One of those.
I am also from the future, and I have a present for you. I just ruined your life.
Well, if you're from the future, how could you let us book a vampire on our show?
It's going to pay off.
Okay.
It's going to pay off. He's gonna,
I'm balancing things out because I'm from the past.
Exactly. See? That's good. Now,
before the show, we were talking about your first comic was a Booster Gold comic, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, very nostalgic. It was at a garage sale in Canada. I moved to Canada when I was 8. So I was very young. I lived most of my life there. And I'll never forget my first batch of comics. It was that. Action Comics 487.
Wow, and, that's a great guess.
Booster Gold is like just beating up Superman. And throughout the whole comic, it was drawn by John Byrne, and I think written by John Byrne. It was like that heyday of John Byrne kind of writing everything Batman for 4 issues a month or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And I loved it. I mean, like, I just devoured it over and over. It was great. There was another comic I picked up. It was like Master of Kung Fu by Paul Galassi. That's where I learned, like, anatomy.
Oh, really?
Because Paul Galassi used to draw all these cut sleeve figures. You know?
Yeah, that's what our anatomy is like, too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. For those of you who have never seen pictures of us, we're just like them. And now, did you grow up in a place where there wasn't a comic shop? So this was like finding these comics there was like a big...
Well, that was the 80s, I guess. So
the 1880s.
Yeah, late 80s. Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, 1880s.
I said the 1880s.
Yeah. Well, I remember having my wig on. And
yeah.
And I was just powdering my face right before I left the house. And then,
Anne Rice fan.
I finished beating my surf.
Really? Yeah. So,
this is getting dark.
It's like a very Dostoevskian sort of scenario.
But you grew up in an area where there weren't comic shops, so this was like a real discovery.
Well, they might have been, but I was eight or nine.
I see.
You know, like, I wasn't going to wander on my own because it was smart. Dangerous for the neighbors.
The other people, yes.
Cool. Well, point being, definitely check out this comic. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it for the stack.
That is it for the stack.
All right, guys. We're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because I come out to you guys. It's your audience question.
Nice.
Let me change my mind. So here's what happens. You can ask a question about absolutely anything. You can ask a question for our amazing guests. You can ask a question for all of us. Who knew? Absolutely anything you want. You're going to get some free comics. Just raise your hand. You, sir, I saw your hand. Oh, he raised his hand first. All right, come on down.
Wow, what a gentleman.
Wow, that is very nice of you guys. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is EJ, and this is Pete.
Risky.
Because we are experiencing a slight dearth of Punisher. I recently picked up a very interesting run of Punisher, which is the Events comic run, a.k.a. Punisher Purgatory.
Oh,
and
wow.
And I wanted your thoughts on that.
Wow.
Okay.
So it's the one where he's an angel and he shoots angel.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean...
They won't reprint.
Yeah.
Wait, walk us through this. He's an angel?
Yeah.
He's dead.
He's dead and he's
been... Okay. So he's dead. He rises from the dead. He's in hell. So first of all, do you think it's a cool thing when the Punisher is dead and comes back from the dead or not? Just throwing that out there.
No, I like him alive.
But what did you think of this? Punisher as an angel. He plays a harp or he shoots
bullets. Because basically what happens is, he goes to heaven and they're like, man, we need some big hitters around heaven. We don't, everybody's just like...
He's going to punish in heaven?
So they're like, hey, will you go down and be an angel of vengeance for heaven? And he was like, yeah, I can do that. And so he's kind of an avenging angel for heaven.
So he goes back and just goes back to punishing
just,
people?
Yeah, just punishes people. But he's doing it for God, so it's like double.
Yeah, do you like that?
It's kind of a weird choice, but it's better than Frankencastle. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't. I wasn't like, yes, finally, my two favorite. No.
If you, could, what did you? What was your favorite thing from it that you could pick out then?
I don't know. It was so. Did 80s he have wings? Looking. Yeah, it was like. It was just crazy. I mean, he had wings, but he didn't always have wings.
He had a magic coat. Very heavy.
You remember that show where it was like
Parker
that,
Lewis can't lose?
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Wow, that was a seamless interaction between P and Alex where you said you remember that show and Alex was already years. Saying, he was that's already saying Parker Lewis can't lose, right, which right I would argue not many people remember. Great.
If season two of the Marvel Netflix show was Angel Punisher, what would you think about that?
I mean, if it was... Season one was so good. I mean, if they made some right choices, I don't know. It just seems like a crazy thing now.
I just think it's weird to have him have like a baby body and wearing a diaper and flying around so much.
A baby body?
It's a cherub. Yeah.
Cherub Punisher. Oh, yeah, right. That's
more like a Valentine's Day Punisher type thing.
What did you think of it?
What do you...
Well, I don't know. Expecting a much more
wait. Here, say it into the microphone so the people at home can hear you. Mm.
I'm going to be honest, since generally that run is considered worse than Frankencastle, I was kind of expecting a more negative response. It was going to be like a Hunter Zolomon thing, only through suffering can I make you stronger.
Wow.
But it turns out you are way more dark and twisted than I thought.
Yeah! You are correct, sir.
What a great revelation.
Also, I mean, I read that as a kid, so...
I mean, when was that? Was that trying to copy Lobo or something?
90s.
The 90s.
Marvel Knights, yeah. They did a bunch of
stuff. So, yeah, the 90s, when everything was super extreme, even Angels. Yeah.
And they won't collect that, but they Frankencastle you can buy in any store today.
Literally any store.
Yeah, where's the justice? You know what I mean?
I went into a Starbucks the other day, and they had Frankencastle right there. It was nuts. All right, we got another question over there. Come on up. It's a short mic cord. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin. You were talking earlier about how, like, in the Superman title and Super Sons, they're... You know, they're kind of stepping back from the action and getting into like a family dynamic. What do you think are some classic examples of that?
Ooh. Oh, of like real character development, emotional stakes, less action.
Sorry, I got distracted by the fact that Pete left his wallet out. Are you going to give your wallet away to somebody?
Yeah, no.
It's my Punisher wallet. Not you know. I need something over there. It's my Punisher keychain.
Wait, so
Punisher
this is your wallet. Backup it's Punisher.
It's with money. If you're listening at home, and yeah. Pete is going to give it out to one lucky audience.
No, I'm not.
That's fun. Pete's social security number would be a big thing to have in your quiver.
Yeah.
Answer the man's question.
So
the question was, sort of a. In the past, what comic series or characters were more emotionally led as opposed to action led?
Or I think it was kind of like, what was your favorite emotional?
Yeah. What do you think? What emotions do you feel these days on the spectrum?
Yeah, it's usually just love or anger. You know?
Well, in the past, it was just Superman and his dog, right?
Superman and Crypto.
Yeah, I mean they had just kind of like. Fun games and
they would play around. Yeah.
Well, you know, there was also the X-Men where they would stop and play baseball.
Oh yeah.
That was fun. That was the action though.
Yeah. Are we just talking about superhero comics or just comics in general?
Up to you.
Up to us.
Okay. I was seeing some reviews recently about the Peter David Hulks, which were very lighthearted and.
Oh, that's a great answer. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they were though. Did you read them back in the day?
Not all of them, but okay. I've read some of them, and they were just kind of they were very sitcom-y.
Like, I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I think there was action, but I think there was a lot of like dealing with his issues and like his relationship with Betty was a little bit all over the place then.
Yeah, I would say though Future Imperfect, the graphic novel that introduced the Maestro.
Yeah,
that to me like there's a scene in there if you've never read that. So the Hulk. It's an intelligent Hulk. He seems to be integrated with Bruce Banner, but he has rage issues, of course, still. He's sent to the future. He meets a future version of himself called the Maestro, who has taken over the entire world, basically. It's like Mad Max world. And the Maestro immediately breaks his back and puts him in a cast and leaves him in bed.
and is like, well, I'm going to give you these slave girls and they're going to have sex with you. And he's like, no, I'm with Betty. I love Betty. And he's like, no, 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 we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And his body betrays him. And I always remember him screaming because he's like, God, why is this happening?
That's horrifying,
it
Alex.
It really is. But I mean, when we're talking about emotional storytelling, like that's an emotional beat that stuck with me. It's like the maestro and that Hulk go toe to toe in terms of fighting, but that psychological torture is far right. more scarring.
I would like to talk about two comics. One, Scott Snyder's early run on Detective Comics, where there is Gordon and his son sitting in a booth, and there is just like, there's
his son who's a psycho serial killer.
It's like they're just talking and it's so intense, and it's also cutting to the bathroom where you see what you think is like water leaking out in the beginning and then it's like blood, but it's so intense. But also like as far as like family emotion and stuff like that, to me the first thing I think of is Too Cool to Be Forgotten by Alex Robinson.
Nice.
That is like a real family kind of thing. Also, I Kill Giants is a great kind of family thing. But they're just powerful in dealing with, you know, kind of close-knit family emotions. And, man, I cry like a little kid at those books.
There's a great comic called Concrete from a while back that I that deals with a lot of like the it's about a person who gets who confronts an alien and gets shifted into this alien body that is like a big concrete, almost Ben Grimm the Thing type body, and it's all it's mostly about the emotional journey of him going from that happening, dealing with the science fiction ramifications, but also the emotional ramifications of that.
One of my favorites.
That series is great.
Paul Chadwick.
Paul Chadwick,
yeah, good stuff. Cool, we can take another question. You got some free comics. Absolutely anybody, just free comics. We'll give you some love advice or stock tips or whatever you want.
Our stock tips are top.
They are buy wheat. All right, here, coming up. What's your name? What's your question?
Hey, Ryan. I was interested. I had a question for you. And The Big Boss, I was reading it. I read it through twice. And I was reading it through, and I thought the hero was... it was interesting how much more powerful the villain was, the main villain in the story, than the hero. So I really felt like the hero was vulnerable, which I don't feel in a lot of comics. I really felt like he really could be maimed and hurt and killed, and he was barely escaping sometime. Do you plan to do more with the villain there, Tech? Or?
Well, yeah, that's thank awesome. You. Thank you thank for you. The question. And thank you. Thanks for reading it and liking it. Yeah, well, actually, I did. I introduced Tech in a one issue several years ago, and I mean, you may be able to find it as a digital download somewhere, maybe drivethroughcomics.com or something. And it used to be actually in the 5-issue miniseries for Big Boss, from issues 3 to 5, there was a backup 8-page stories with Tech. So so he's definitely more powerful. But he's actually another anti-hero, because Big Boss is quite an anti-hero. He's like, obviously an assassin. And then Tech, his story is that he gets roughed up by this cult leader's henchmen. I'm kind of spoiling it a bit. And he gets thrown into this... he's a lab technician. He gets thrown into the supercomputer, and he merges with the supercomputer. He comes back for vengeance. But he has a different, like, a Big Boss. Oh, I'm kind of spoiling it, but
you're teasing it.
Yeah. Well, they're not really against each other. Big Boss is kind of assigned to stop him from killing his client. So, they're not. You know, I mean, you'll have in the end, you'll see it's kind of resolved quite nicely, I believe. But I'd love to do something more ongoing again with Tech, because I feel like Tech and his girlfriend, before he was kind of maimed, he's kind of that quintessential Beauty and the Beast story, essentially, as it was like in the old TV show.
Tale as old as time. Oh, the old TV show.
Yeah, okay, the old TV show. Yeah. Where he's disfigured, And he's dealing with his vanity in a way, and she just kind of wants to help him, but it's kind of it's now become a volatile relationship. So I think if I was ever developing that story, it would be a very different story on his own, that character.
Who is the singing candlestick in that scenario?
That's a great question.
Actually, there is one.
Oh,
her
really?
Name is Sphinx, essentially, because she kind of looks like that when you look.
Let me ask you. Never make jokes.
I have another really important question. Do you ever worry the big boss will be taken out by Big Intern?
By Big what?
Big Intern.
Yeah. Big Intern. Big Intern is charming.
I wanted to talk about.
Sorry,
just to interrupt. Pete's question is Big Boss going to cross over with Boss Baby at any point?
I don't know Boss Baby.
You don't know Boss Baby?
Oh, man.
You got to.
It's an assassin for hire baby.
Is it actually?
No, it's but it's a movie with a boss baby.
But I do like what he's saying, though, because it's a very cool thing to have. A villain, or to have your hero be in such a situation where the reader is like, holy crap, how are they going to make it out of this? And I think that was like, that was a cool moment where, you know, as a reader, you're so much more invested because you're not looking at it like, I've read a million comics and I know the good guy is going to win. You created a villain that was like so much more powerful than the hero. And I think that's kind of like a cool. That's a cool idea, and that's something that I would like to see. I think that's...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I plotted a lot of it, but the ending, kind of when I was writing in the middle of it, I didn't really know how I was going to kind of pull it off.
Oh, wow.
I just kind of tried to make it more dangerous and see how it played out.
Cool.
Nice. And it worked out quite nicely, I believe.
Yeah.
Awesome. Speaking of villains more powerful than heroes, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Let's welcome up. He is, as we all know, the star of trivia.
Oh, man. You know what's great is that bit that you keep doing.
None of this is a bit. None of this is a bit, Pete. This is all reality.
This is our lives, Pete.
And this is where you step out of the ensemble and really take the spotlight.
I really hate you.
Pete, the audience is that way.
Yeah, I know, but you make me so angry.
I'm just back here talking, but you're in charge.
Shut the fuck up. Thank you for coming to our live show. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the gift card to Midtown Comics. Because if you had $25, you go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. Casual hand up guy. Why don't you come on down?
Casual hand up guy. That's great.
Here we go.
We have a new player on the stage interacting with our star.
Okay. I remind the audience of your name again.
My name is EJ.
EJ, audience. Audience, EJ.
Yes.
So today's trivia is on our lovely guest here, who I am going to just pronounce.
Questions How to Kill a Vampire?
No, it's not.
No, we don't
I like
know
his
how
work.
To do that.
I don't want him gone.
Okay. So here we go. Question number one. What is the big boss's job? Is it A, an assassin, B, a head of a crime family, or is it C, the sequel to Boss Baby?
Ooh, it's a synergy.
Yeah, so is it A? Great. Yep.
Nicely done.
So, Christian, self-published his first graphic novel in blank. Is it A, college, B, high school, or is it C, Monsters University? So it's either A or it's
B.
B, yes, you were correct.
Well, actually, Hotel Transylvania.
Wait, you know Hotel Transylvania, not Boss Baby?
It's my favorite movie.
Of course it is. All right.
I just want to mention this show has been sponsored by DreamWorks Animation. DreamWorks Animation, bringing you fine films.
Okay. Fun fact, Kristen also teaches blank. Is it A, art, B, yoga, or is it C, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? So it's either A or...
That's right.
He teaches an online art class as well as at college for a little while, but $25 is yours.
That
All
is
right.
nice.
Very cool.
And now Pete returns to the ensemble.
Oh, man.
Star turn is over.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, a lot of great stuff coming out. I'm going to say all new Wolverine, just because Wolverine is back, so I'm a little nervous about what they're going to do with the Wolverine title.
You're nervous about it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what they're doing right now. Well, it's the future.
Oh.
In All New Wolverine, yes. It's it's old woman
Laura.
Laura.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, not interesting.
It's great, actually. The first issue came out a while ago, and then this is the second one.
Oh, yeah, it's cool. Funny that you're looking forward to it, but you didn't read the last issue.
Yeah. I think he is looking forward to it.
I did, and I am picking up this next one, but I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, well, you would have if you read the last issue.
I did read it.
Nice.
But I don't know how you guys know what's going to be in this issue.
No, we don't. We're talking about the last issue. And we're saying they're probably... Let me throw this out. They're probably going to continue that story.
You think?
It was technically to be continued.
Here's the thing. This is new. They just started this. Comics is now a sequential media.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, not a standalone.
What are you looking forward to, Justin?
I'm looking forward to a comic called Ice Cream Man from Image Comics. The fourth issue comes out. Haha. And it's a great, horrifying series. Each issue...
You'll never eat ice cream the same again.
Yeah. Each issue, they go through one of the 31 flavors from Baskin-Robbins. That's not true. Each issue focuses on a different standalone story, or so far they've been standalone, where you get into a character, you meet, and the horrifying decisions they've made in their life, and the Ice Cream Man somehow makes their life worse. It's a great... And I would also throw out that Image First's Fear Agent number one is out.
Oh,
if you've never read Fear Agent, Rick Remender's sort of his first big book. One of our favorites in the show.
It's funny, actually, to go back and read Fear Agent number one, because you read that and it's a pretty straightforward concept about, like, it's an alien exterminator. You know, like he's exterminating bugs, but instead he's killing aliens. It goes bananas from there. It gets so far away from that concept, but it's so good. It's a great book. I'm looking forward to, let's say, Thor 706. It's the last issue of Jane Foster. Last issue, Jason Aaron and Ronald.
You're looking for
Zonderman
a good cry.
What?
You're looking for a good cry, apparently.
Looking for a good cry. And I'll also mention we do a podcast called The Stack that's in the regular Comic Book Club feed. It's posted every Wednesday at 9 a.m., and there are going to be reviews of Ice Cream Man, Thor, and a bunch of other titles, so definitely check that out. Christian, plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
Well, at Big Boss Comic on Instagram.
Nice.
You can still read the comic there. And my website, csa1.ca.
All right, very cool.
Thank you so much.
And of course, check you out at night, prowling around looking for prey, right?
Yeah, at night, hashtag vampire man.
Couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, our guest is going to be Howie Noel, creator of the original graphic novel Float. That should be interesting and
very
fun
cool
to talk about.
Yeah.
Also, we do a bunch more podcasts. We also already mentioned The Stack. We do a Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark in its own feed, After Krypton in its own feed, Inside Legion in its own feed. Preacher Man or Preacher Podcast is coming back pretty soon because the show is going to be back in June.
Yep.
I want to say something like that. So that should be pretty cool. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live and know that I ate a heavy garlic dinner.
can I plug one more little
thing? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's a small Comic-Con at Xavier High School on May 12th.
Oh, nice.
And it's called X-Con.
Oh, okay.
And I'll be there.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Along with a lot of other independent publishers. So.
All right. Very cool. Definitely check that out.
That's here in New York.
Yeah, here in New York.
That's awesome.
Nice. Xavier High School, May 12th.
Great.
All right. You can check out our podcast and plenty more at comicbookclublive.com. Also, if you're here in the theater, we do this show does cost us a little bit of money to do, but even though it's free, I said that in a very weird way this time.
It was great to make hard eye contact with you the whole time you were saying.
You saw the panic in my eyes.
Because I was like, I'm not helping, so why are you looking at me? Figure out what you need to say, man.
Well, he's looking at you. You're supposed to help him.
I don't know. What am I going to do? Be like, yeah, good. Keep going. Keep doing it. You'll find it, man.
Anyway, show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost a little bit of money to do. We have a literal hat over there if you want to throw a couple bucks in, or if you're listening at home, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Couple people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Eva Bell, Tommy Dell, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Ryan Lutran. We want to thank Christian for being on the show.
Mr. BJ.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys for every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, guys. Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.